What I want you to do on this piece of paper, first of all, I need a volunteer. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that. You mad? Ron is always the first one to jump up and volunteer. So I appreciate that. On your piece of paper, I want you to write down an attribute or a characteristic or something that when you hear the name of Jesus that you relate to. One word. Whatever it is. When you hear the name of Jesus, what's the word that comes into your mind, or what is the word that brings a feeling to you, or what do you ascribe to Him? Whatever that word is. When you have it down, do not put it your name on it. I want you to pass it over to Ron. And then Ron's job is to pick out any name that you want in that bunch, and we'll discuss it for a few minutes. So does everybody understand the assignment? One name, whatever when you hear the word Jesus you think about, whatever that word is, pass it to Ron. And Ron, you start picking out something that's either a little different, whatever appeals to you, and then when I ask you, give me that slip of paper. Now, while y'all are doing that, I'm going to share some information with you about the great city of Keene. Did anybody see the article in the paper about the city of Keene? Okay. Was it on the news?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now, this is a great time to witness to the Metroplex community. Am I correct? So when they had the city of Keene, guess what the first thing was? It was dispelling myths about the city of Keene. So guess what the first myth that at least caught my attention was? Yeah, the first thing they wanted to dispel at the city of Keene was there was no law that you could not mow your lawn on Saturday. Am I making this up?
No,
okay. I want somebody. So here is a community that's known for one thing. That's being a Seventh-day Adventist community. And the first myth we've got to get rid of is you can mow your lawn on Saturday in the city of Keene if you want to. Powerful witnessing. What was another one?
You can barbecue if you want to.
You can barbecue meat in the city of Keene if you want to. In fact, the mayor, who is an Adventist, was so adamant to prove a point that you could eat meat in the city of Keene that he stated in the article, in fact, we eat meat, I'm getting ready to go get a Kincaid's hamburger.
Sharing your faith.
Wow. Wow. Is that the best we can do?
At least you selected a good place to eat.
Good taste. There's no doubt about it. It's good. Is that the best we can do as a community of Adventists? Is that we have to work hard for people to understand that if you live in our community and you want to mow your lawn on Saturday, you can do that. And if you want to barbecue meat, you can do that. My, wouldn't it have been nice? You fill in the blanks. You fill in the blanks. This quarter we're going to talk about Jesus. I thought, Rob, that me and you had been talking about Him for a long time. Yeah, that's right. But this quarter we get to follow the quarterly because we're going to talk about Jesus. And that's good. That's good. Last night, for those that were at the Revelation, we talked about the first four seals of Revelation 6. And again, if those seals aren't about your personal relationship with Christ, we've missed the whole point. Otherwise, it just becomes a very nice history book. So today, I asked you to write down an attribute or something that when you heard the word Jesus, this is what came into your mind. Ron so very nicely volunteered. So, do you have one for me? Bilingual, huh?
This was written in Spanish.
Well, okay. What does that say?
Health.
Health! Nothing wrong with that. Does Jesus want to have for you to have good health?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus wants you to barbecue? Okay. This is an interesting one. I wouldn't have put this together, but that's why we have a bunch of people that put a lot of things together. Nothing wrong. How do you see Jesus in health? Pardon? A healer. How do you know that? Pardon?
The Bible says so.
Okay. All right. We've seen it. Felt it. Read about it.
Experienced it.
He is a healer. He loves to heal. What attributes do you have to be healed by Him? Now, I want you to think before you answer that question.
A need.
A need?
Faith.
Pardon?
Faith.
What did you say?
Faith.
Faith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Faith.
Pardon?
Trust.
Trust? Okay. 10 little leper boys come running along. What quality did they have in order to be healed?
A need.
A need? What else?
They asked.
They asked, and how thankful were they? What does that tell you about your God?
He loved us more than we love Him at times. He did it without any motive. He did it because He loved them.
Yes.
What about the young boy that was raised from the dead on his way to the graveyard? He had nothing to do with it, and his mother wasn't expecting any miracles. She was just walking along in her sadness. God took care of him.
What does that tell you about Jesus? What does that tell you about the Father?
That He's willing to help us. Willing to heal us.
He's looking. There's a difference between wanting. Yes, He does. He's looking. Waiting. Searching. For an opportunity. To do that which His nature is. And that's our hope. We just had two dear people whose need and their families need to rely on that hope. But the promise is, He's always there.
Amen.
He does care. Yes?
You know, in connection with this, sometimes we almost have God and characterize Him as if He is somehow obligated. You know, when you start looking at the whole thing and the plan, is if there's some kind of obligation, like He has to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it in the light that He is compelled, that His nature is, you know, if I feel like there's obligated, I have a certain sense of security. But when I see that He is driven by love and He could do no else,
yes,
it just overwhelms me. of what he will go through, that love has no end, a boundary.
Yes.
I mean, where he is obligated, there comes a time when obligation is, I've done my duty, I'm gone.
That's
but when
right.
it's compelled by love,
yeah.
And nothing.
And even when you sense that obligation on the other person's part, it turns you off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Turns you off. You know. And so, I wouldn't have picked health with that name. Somebody did. Next one.
Presence.
What does people write so little for? I give you a whole big piece of paper. Look at that. What do you think of that, Mitchell? Presence. You think of the word Jesus, you think of presence. What do you think they mean by that? Pardon?
Him with you.
Him with you? Always there? Pardon me? Never leave you?
Peace.
Peace? What else?
Kindness.
Is presence a good thing?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Do we always teach that? Yes.
Who was it that was saying, no matter where I go and where I run from, you are always there? Even though they were trying to run from God?
Absolutely. It's a very good problem. But can His presence be a threat? Who said certainly? I always like people that step out. What do you mean it's a threat?
It was a threat when He was speaking in Moses' time on the mount.
Threat to who? Everybody?
The people were afraid of Him when He spoke.
All right. Let's look at that for a second. Was everybody afraid of Him?
Nope.
No.
Then why was it a threat to some and a blessing to others? Pardon? But we're all sinners.
A perceived threat.
A perceived threat. Why when He comes, some people are going to say, this is our God and we've waited for Him. And another group of people see the same thing and they say, let the rocks and the mountains fall on us.
That are the evil people that we see that are afraid of Him.
That evil's a hard word. But we'll take it. We'll take evil. That's okay. That's a little hard word.
I think it depends on
different God?
Relationship. It's the relationship.
Yes.
The ones who know Him will be saying, this is our God. And the ones who don't will be afraid because they believe He's a threat.
Okay. Have you ever been told God is watching you? God knows your thoughts. God knows the words before you speak them. Good or bad?
Good.
I think it's good.
Me too.
Got a friend. Keep you in check.
Well, it depends on who you are
again. Absolutely. It depends on who you are. When I was little, parents, not my own, in case my mother hears this one, some other parents, would say, God is watching. Now, this is a true story. I only tell true stories. God, I don't want you to read the funny papers in the newspaper, and God is watching to see if you do or not. Was that a nice thought?
Tell him to get his own
newspaper.
See?
So is presence a blessing or can presence be a negative? It's you that makes the difference between the two. You ever have ring the doorbell? And you look out there and you say, oh my goodness, What do I do? Somebody comes to the door. You've been waiting. You throw that door open. You're excited. It's you. It's you that makes the difference. At Sinai, it was the person's relationship with God that made the difference. Moses, he glowed because he knew his God. God is present. That is good news. But we almost always have to present it in light of good news. And sometimes we fail by saying, if you do this, this, and this, God is writing it all down in a book. And someday, He's going to bring it back into remembrance and say, see what you did? Wow. Yes?
I would say, you know, we should fear God. I mean, you know, when you talk about the God of presence, we should fear Him. And I think if we do fear Him, then that'll keep us in check. So, like, you won't go out and do something that you know that's against God's will. Because if you do, then you're going to suffer the consequences somewhere down the line. Okay. So, because of God being there watching you, I see what you're doing. So if you have that in your mind, and like I said, if your relationship with God is a good relationship, then you will be more obedient to do the right thing. So it's better for you in the long run. So, yeah, we should fear that. So.
Okay. You ever travel?
Oh, yeah.
Ever go to a bar and get drunk?
Of course.
You do?
Not lately, no.
No, that's what I'm saying. Cut! 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 As a lawyer, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. Let's start over. When's the last time you traveled?
Sweet.
Did you go out and get drunk?
No.
Did you go out with another woman?
No.
Why?
Because I'm married. I have to be married, and I know that's a sin. That's against my morals and my values.
Were you scared of her?
No.
Then why would you do that to God?
Why wouldn't I do it to God?
No, why would you do it to God? Oh. If you were nice to her through your marriage vow and you didn't do the things,
right,
and your motivation wasn't because you were scared of her, then why would you put the same motivation for serving God that you wouldn't put on your wife?
Good question.
Thank you. Don't need an answer. Just want you to think about it, you see.
I don't think the word fear means to be afraid.
Exactly.
No, I think it's reverent. I saw Adele Sue played it for me. I don't like Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey is not allowed in my home when I'm at home, except when Sue says, I'm going to watch her and I don't care what you say. Then I tend to lose that one. See, but I just don't like her. Just don't like her. So Sue played me a deal today, this morning. She got over the internet, and it was some clips of Oprah. And she's into New Age religion. She's into New Age with her books. So there is a danger there. And so Oprah was saying, I sat in a church when I was 28, a Baptist, and it says that God is a jealous God. Does it say God is a jealous God? Absolutely, it says it is. He ought to be a jealous God. But you got to read it in context. Am I correct? And she said, well, there's got to be something other than God than being jealous. And so she left. And now she's into New Age where everybody's a God. And you find your own way to God no matter how you want to go. And whatever you do, you become God yourself. See, that's my only point. I brushed my teeth when I was 3 years old because my mom and dad made me. I brushed my teeth this morning. Why? It makes good sense. And that's where God wants us to be. It makes good sense, John.
Another dimension I was thinking when Claudia.
We're still friends.
In a family setup, you know, I think sometimes that out of a desire to not disappoint, when you come to care for a person and to not disappoint that person by doing something, can actually be a greater thing than fear. Not doing it out of fear.
Yes. Yes.
At least that.
I agree. It becomes a point in your life when you don't do what you do simply because you don't want to. And Paul said that. I've met Jesus and I am stunned. Everything I like to do, I don't want to do anymore. And everything I used to not want to do, I do. But see, the deal was he met Jesus. That changes it all. Next. Water. Jesus equals water. Well, what in the world does that mean?
Thirsty.
Living water?
Yeah, when you're thirsty.
Thirsty?
No, water sustains life, and Jesus sustains life.
Very good. How long, I don't know the answer, I did not do good in science. How long can you live without water? Does anybody know?
It's not long.
How long can you spiritually live without Jesus Christ? Not long. The Bible is full of people to demonstrate when you try to live without Jesus what life is like. And not all of these people were bad. In fact, most of them were good. How would you interpret? Yes. No, that's fine.
Went by design, but I'm thinking that just as you asked that question, how long can you live? The first three things I gave you were, each of those was unique. And they all tie together. You can't have good health without the presence of Jesus, who is that water of life.
Absolutely.
So whoever gave us those three.
Very good. Yeah, they all fit. I appreciate you pointing that out. Yes.
And just back to your other question. To be honest, that's our mission. Is there are a lot of people around us who are trying to live without Jesus. And they don't know that the misery that they're living in is because they don't have the water of life. Okay. So it's our duty and our opportunity and our witness to introduce them to that
drink of
water.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Is there also the aspect of it that he produces water? Not that so much that he is, it says, I am the living water, but he produces it.
Yes. He is water, yes.
You know, mind that you keep teasing me about, that I always bring it up, is out of my belly shall flow rivers
of living water. Absolutely. Now, I want you to picture this. We have a person that physically, not spiritually, physically needs water. Absolutely has gone days without water. How would we give that person water? Put it in their veins. That simple? So I was wrong when I found the guy that needed water and I took a gallon jug and poured it down his throat. Not good?
Not good.
Way wrong.
Ah, do you know what's coming next, James?
Yeah.
Do you know what's coming next? We find a person that's spiritually dry of water, and what do we cram down their throats?
You can mow your grass and
peen
on Saturday.
That's right. We take the biggest 5-gallon jug we can find and have somebody pry open their mouth and pour it down. And after they get through choking and sputtering and throwing up, we wonder why they didn't accept the fundamental doctrines that we just shared with them. True parallel?
Yes.
Absolutely. If you're thirsty, you're telling me, give them small sips. If they're spiritually famished, give them small sips about the God who loves and who cares and who watches over. What did Paul say? Give them a bunch of food to choke on, or give them a little milk? Next. Oh, you're doing good.
Hey, man. How long can you be here? We've got a whole
second. Oh, we'll go till we're finished. Is that okay, Mitchell? Acceptance. Jesus equals acceptance. What in the world does that mean?
He meets us at our point. He meets us wherever we are. He accepts us wherever we are in our lives. He accepts us.
Okay. What else? What does acceptance mean to you?
To me, it means I don't have to explain my madness.
Okay. What does acceptance mean?
Ernie, God cannot help but love us no matter what we do. He still loves us. And that's total acceptance of us.
Okay. How much do you need to clean yourself up in order to get into His presence so He can accept you? Are you sure of that?
Yes.
Wouldn't you feel more comfortable if you said 5%?
No.
Just checking.
Look at the thief on the cross.
That's one.
The prodigal. The good father. The story of the good father.
Yeah.
The well.
God's eyes run to and fro across the land just looking for anybody that He can come and appeal to. Just looking. And even then, He comes by and you're not even aware of it. And He comes up and He'll knock on the door of your heart. Just wanting you to give Him a chance to work in your life. The beautiful thing about our Father is there is not one thing we can do to make Him love us. When Satan himself will face final destruction, God Himself will do the same thing that He did in heaven. As Satan perishes, He will weep because He never stopped loving the devil. Acceptance? Absolutely. That is Jesus. Next one.
There were several of them that love.
Love. It's the one I was kind of looking for. Assuming that. What does that mean? God is love.
Well,
That's interesting. That might be a definition of the word.
Yes. Is there a danger by saying God is love, God is love, God is love? Is there a danger? Who says yes? Well, I got two. Better than three, maybe. Certainly there's a danger into that. Because why?
We make up our definition of that word instead of going to Him to find out what that word means.
Yeah. You see, you can say it pretty soon. If you're not careful, it loses its meaning. Well, God is love. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. God loves me. Absolutely true. But these are facts. Do you think the devil thinks God is love?
Yeah.
Think that one through.
I think he knows. He knows it's God.
Then what's the difference in knowing and knowing?
Well, Satan's mind is so perverted that he may know that God loves him, but he doesn't see it that way.
Okay. Do we ever fall into that? Yes.
He loves himself more.
Absolutely. That's the epitome of all problems.
He has no need for it.
Right. That's the epitome of all problems. Care more about me than I do him.
Ernie?
Yes.
The difference between knowing and experiencing.
Yes. That's right.
We can know a lot of things, but we don't experience everything.
How did God demonstrate His love?
Jesus on the cross.
Right.
Anything else?
Through many varied situations in our life, like His children, as He stood by them and patiently, you know, worked with them when they were.
The ultimate was at the cross for the universe. But go back to the very beginning. And if you haven't done it, then I don't know if you've been through our 66 books. And if you have been, maybe you missed it. Go back from the very beginning and you'll see all through it that thread of love. Never changed. People made it harder. People made it seem bad, but that thread from the very time. Let me give you an example about the love of God that perhaps we never think about. There's a tree in the Garden of Eden, correct? And they were told they couldn't eat of it, correct?
Yes.
And what have we said for ages that tree was placed there?
Yes.
As a test. See, that's the first expression outside of creation itself of God's love. Because what God really said was, you have all of these things, enjoy, have things, just don't go over there. Because there's some bad news over there if you choose to go. And we've come along and said, God had to test us to see if we loved Him. And then we wonder why there are people out there that have no use for Christianity. Mm-hmm. See, that thread of love was magnified at Calvary. But that thread of love began with creation. The very fact He created us shows love. One more if I want it.
Ernie,
yes.
Is it possible that we repeat God is love, as if we're trying to throw one aspect of His nature in a balance to try to outbalance everything else that we hear that is negative?
Yes.
In other words, it's a
yes.
It's an effort to try to clean God up so He's tolerable.
Yes.
And I really believe that's what Oprah is about. I'm not trying to condemn her.
Yeah.
But that's what it's about. They've heard all this condemnation. Yeah. and they're never able to understand the full dimension of God's character.
Next one was, yeah, very good, Rob. Next one was peace. Won't get to that. We're going to close. If you have love for God, how do you demonstrate it?
By loving other people and doing good to others.
By trusting Him.
Trusting Him? And how is that reflected? Again, you're absolutely correct. The only basis of judgment in the New Testament by Jesus was, how did you treat your fellow man? There is no other. How did you treat your fellow man? Why? If you know Him, everybody's your brother and sister. And whether they're... I'm running out of time, so I got to finish. Whether they converted to our religion or any religion makes no difference. We see them. We see their plight. We care for them. We love them. And we move on and let the Holy Spirit do the work.
Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you for the insights that our class has provided today. It's very heartwarming when they hear your son's name. They think of one who is a healer, one who gives water of life, one who is always there, one who brings us peace, one who accepts us. For you see, Father, when we put all of those attributes together and many others, we all come to the great principle, God is love. That's what makes you who you are. We think of our many special requests. Father, give all of us a good week is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.